competition, re the pine trees. I live very close to and next to some of those pine trees. So there's a definite perceived conflict of interest due to proximity.
Thank you. Is that enough for governance to note? Who's noting it? Kate or Jamie, is someone noting that?
Yes, I can record it. That's fine.
That's all I was asking. Councillor Hull?
Yeah, I was just going to ask whether individuals, when they do declare a conflict of interest, if the fact they declared a conflict of interest and the reasons why, as per the requirements, if that could be done going forward?
Well, just to clarify, this part of the meeting is just, in a sense, a courtesy to governance and the chair that at a later item, the conflict of interest will have to be dealt with in some way. And the formalities of that can be undertaken when we get to the item. Kate, is that, Ms. McKenzie, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We'll record it in the minutes at the time that the item is brought on.
That's what happens, yes.
The point is, Mr. Mayor, that in recent times it hasn't been happening, and that's why I flagged it as an issue.
Well, I dispute that, but you can take that up with Ms. McKenzie after the meeting.
Speak for themselves.
Councillor Hull, please don't speak out of order. Councillor Gard. You'll need to unmute yourself, Councillor Gard.
Do, of course, that's better. Just a question. I know it's been our practice in the past to just register conflict of interest, but is it more correct or in fact required that we say what the conflict of interest is about? That's a question that it's topical at the moment.
Yes, Ms. McKenzie, would you like to answer?
Chair, the issue is that members should be declaring what type of conflict of interest it is, whether it is a actual material or perceived. We haven't been recording that in the minutes previously. All we have been doing generally is just stating that it is a conflict of interest unless it has been specifically stated by the member what type it is.
So through the chair, if in my case, I've always had a material conflict of interest as it is living so close to the Seacliff Park development site. Should it be stated that it's due to my proximity that I have that material conflict?
Yes. Through the chair, Councillor Gard, we always record the reasons as to why. So if it is due to the proximity of your residence, then we will record that. What hasn't been recorded is the type. So the type is a material, an actual, or a perceived. So members should be declaring what type it is.
Right. Thanks for that. That clarifies it.
And I can add to that that usually, if not always, the chair will clarify the nature of the conflict to the degree necessary so that governance can record it.
Yeah, thanks.
If there are no others, then would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the previous General Council meeting? Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hull. You wish to speak to the motion, Councillor?
Just very quickly. Mr. Mayor, page 15, the Council's newfound privacy policy, that would be applicable as of now. Would that be correct?
Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, no, the policy is out for public consultation at the moment. That closes on the 2nd of June. It's due to come back to the following council meeting on the 9th.
Right, can't come quick enough. Yeah, thank you.
Moved and seconded. If there's no further discussion, all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, would someone like to move that we receive the communications reports? Moved Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Masika. Councillor Hull, question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Page 22, 14th of May, both directors, Heredia's and Lyons, met with DIPTI in regards to Majors Road. and Marion Road. Can we have a brief, for the public record, a brief summation of that meeting and even more recent findings in regards to those two studies?
Yeah, Mr. Scott.
I'd have to ask the people who are in attendance, Your Worship. That's Mr. Paredes or Mr. Lyons. I think Mr. Lyons got his hand up.
Oh, sorry. Who would like to take it then? Mr. Lyons.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have circulated an emailed update with regard to Majors Road, and DIPTI were very open about their position there. They'd had a consultancy do a review on that particular intersection on the potential of slipways on the Southern Expressway. The consultancy looked at the intersection as to whether it should be a full intersection or just one with slipways on the departures heading north or one on the departure heading south. The consultancy came up with some cost estimates of between $75 and $100 million for the proposed works. The $75 to $100 were the full-blown cost of the intersection plus the necessary upgrade of Majors Road, because all of that traffic would require the duplication of Majors Road. So it's quite a big project. The investigation found that there were some good things come out of it, that it was very possible to do. The project was certainly able to be completed. There would be some benefit to the southern suburbs, and in fact that it would alleviate some of the pressure on Brighton Road and going up the hill there. And so the City of Holdfast Bay were quite interested in that. Sadly, the investigation also found that the costs far outweighed any benefits that might arise from this particular project. And so while DIPTI was just finalising the conclusion of their work, it's unlikely to go ahead at this point. I should say very unlikely to go ahead. With regard to Marion Road, the study there, I haven't circulated that update and I do need to do that. My apologies for not doing that at this point. But I again had a very candid conversation with a couple of key DIPTI gentlemen on that. Just for your recollection, this is the study of the bit of Marion Road between Cross Road and Anzac Highway there, particularly with regard to the crossing and a little bit north of Anzac, a little bit south of Cross Road. The project had a look at grade separation of the crossing there and was advocating that, and also a number of intersection improvements around Cross and also Anzac Highway. The envisaged cost of those solutions were, in their words, multiple tens of millions. So I'm sort of thinking $20 to $30 million. The cost of the study had been funded by the federal government and had been undertaken locally through DIPTI. And so now it's about to be packaged up and going to become one of those projects that DIPTI will advocate when federal funding becomes available. Once again, it's not likely to happen in the near future. It's an expensive project, but it's one that DIPTI is keeping on their books. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. It was a good question. I can just add a footnote that the fact that the studies were completed is a fulfilment of the election promises of the relevant local members of parliament. Councillor Hull? Need to unmute.
Can you hear
Thank
me
you.
Now?
Yes.
I'm sure that we've all done this, but for those people that inadvertently get on the Southern Expressway heading south and can't get off until Ranelagh, the Majors Road exit would provide some respite for that long journey to Ranelagh to turn around and come back.
Councillor Hull, it's not a time for a general discussion, but it was good clarification. If there's nothing more, I've got a mover and a seconder. I'll put it to the meeting. All those in favour, raise your hand. All right, those minutes are confirmed, unanimous. Thank you. Right, next we have two deputations tonight. The first from, I think, is it Mr. Landrigan, the concerning Lower Field River native vegetation. There's a reference to page 24 on the agenda, and there's a petition there, but we'll hear the deputation first. So did I get the name right? Just help me out. Is there a deputation from the gentleman or not?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mr. Landrigan. Yep, now, you know you have 5 minutes. You're being live streamed. We've had some photographs provided to us, but if you finish a bit early, we'll leave plenty of time for questions if members have any. So feel free. And, of course, if you want to augment your presentation by switching on your video, you can, but I suppose that's not mandatory.
I've tried to do that. I wish it was up there. Sorry, but it's not.
Okay. Anyway, you present as you wish. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Hannah and councillors, for the opportunity to speak. I wanted to make this deputation, for as head petitioner, I'm representing the views of many of my neighbours in Hallett Cove that live next to the Field River. The petition has 31 signatories. More signatures could have been collected, but the petition really needed to be representative of the households that live next to the Field River. So of the 15 households that signed the petition, 12 households live immediately adjacent to the Field River mouth on Osprey Court, River Parade, and St. Vincent Avenue, directly adjacent to the pines in question. The reason we're petitioning is that there are 30 invasive Aleppo pines in the Lower Field River. They're in two compact stands. There is a group of 12 on Osprey Court and a group of 20 further south of the Cormorant Drive Bridge. The reason we are petitioning now is that a recent Trees for Life report is proposing that the pines won't be removed for 20 years. Now, this is a completely unacceptable timeframe to the local community. Hence, our petition is requesting that the pines are removed gradually over a 3-year period. Hardworking volunteers have been rehabilitating the Field River for well over a decade. I've lived on Osprey Court next to the Field River for 12 years and am a member of the Friends of the Lower Field River. For several of those years, I organised planting days with the support of council staff. And at these field days, we had regular turnouts of between 10 and 30 volunteers. We were a keenly engaged local community, including many young families. We held barbecues, field days every month, national tree planting days, Clean Up Australia days, even corporate and school planting days. But now this is a distant memory. 15 of the people who have signed this petition participated at these events. But unfortunately, in the last 2 to 3 years in particular, local residents have become disengaged. This disengagement has been caused in part by a lack of progress, particularly on the issue of replacing the Aleppo pines with native vegetation. And this is what the local community, who cares very much about the local environment, would like to see happen. As the originating officer's comments in the agenda state, the pines are a declared weed under the National Resources Management Act, and retaining them is in direct contravention to council's own remnant native vegetation plan. There is no question the pines are invasive, crowd out other vegetation, and do not support the local ecosystem. But tonight's agenda suggests that there is some divide in the community over the removal of these Aleppo pines, as they are a food source for the yellow-tailed black cockatoo. In all my time living adjacent to the Field River, I only know of 2 households that have ever opposed the removal of the pines. Of the 7 households on Osprey Court where the pines are, only 1 household has ever wanted the Aleppo pines retained, and they're actually now moving out of Adelaide. So this petition makes it absolutely clear that the overwhelming majority of residents on Osprey Court and the surrounding area want the pine trees removed and replaced with native vegetation. With regard to the yellow-tailed black cockatoo, the agenda states that they are known to frequent this location. That's a bit misleading. Yes, they have visited this location, but not frequently. The cockatoo rarely ever visits the Lower Field River. The last time they visited was nearly 2 years ago, for a short 1 or 2 week period. There are only 30 Aleppo pines in the Lower Field River, whereas there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Aleppo pines nearby in Hallett Cove, Lonsdale, and the Upper Field River. And there would be thousands, if not tens of thousands, in southern Adelaide. They are rife. The impact of removing the 30 pines in our area is insignificant on the cockatoo. There is even another large stand of Aleppo pines on private property, less than 100 metres away from where we're talking about, and that completely offsets any impact. In fact, we already have a large number of mature river red gums that were planted 10 years ago, directly beside the remaining Aleppo pines as ready replacements. These river red gums are already half as tall as the pines, but they have been crowded and overshadowed by the taller pine trees. The Field River is now part of the new Glenthorne National Park, and the Coast Park walkway is about to be constructed through this very area. We welcome these initiatives and we want our area to stand out as an area of environmental significance for other City of Marion residents and visitors to the area. Instead, these pest pines trees reduce the amenity as they are a miserable entry statement to a natural area. The Lower Field River sits directly between the Hallett Cove Headland and the Hallett Cove Conservation Park, two areas of major environmental significance. The Lower Field River needs to complete the biodiversity corridor between them. So we request Council listens to the local community. We do not need another report on Aleppo Pines. We request Council resolve that the Aleppo Pines are gradually removed over the next 3 years. We want to continue rehabilitating the area with local Indigenous plants for the enjoyment of the wider community and the environment. We want the river red gums that have already been planted as replacements to provide a stunningly beautiful South Australian entry statement to the area. Thank you all for your time, and I'm really sorry my video didn't work.
That's all right. The message is the most important thing. Now, do any of the elected members have questions? Councillor Gard?
Yes, I know the answer to this, but for the benefit of our other members.
Dorothy Dix is a welcome.
Yes. I'm very interested to hear Mr. Landrigan's take on the inflammability of these trees and the fact that some have already been removed as a result of them being tantamount to petrol bunkers within just tens of metres of nearby homes, which are uphill from the trees, incidentally. So,
well, that's certainly a loaded question in a double sense. Mr. Landrigan, what do you say about that?
Oh, look, well, we did have a fire here recently, and the CFS did come out, and they actually they advised that the trees should be removed. That wasn't really part of the process that we've been going through as part of the Friends group. That was a decision that was made by council and the CFS. But as I understand it, they are a fire hazard. And I'll just chuck in that they do have a lot of, and the pines that are there are actually immediately adjacent homes or quite close to homes currently. And they also spread pollen, which some people have allergies to as well. So,
Councillor Pryor.
Is there a reason that you want them taken out over 3 years?
The Trees for Life report has said that they're going to remove them over 20 years. There's only 30 Aleppo pines here, and they're basically an invasive tree. So 3 years, we've already rehabilitated the whole area in the Lower Field River over a number of years, and we've got a proven track record. We've really done, I think, a great job of rehabilitating the environment. We actually asked Trees for Life 2 years ago to actually gradually remove them at a public meeting up at the Hallett Cove Library, but that hasn't really happened as now. But we think 3 years is a reasonable time frame for the pine trees to be removed gradually and replaced with the native plants to basically complete the revegetation of the area.
Okay, so you're after 3 years. You wouldn't want it to be done quicker? 3 years is acceptable?
Look, we have waited a long time for this. We've actually had the trees marked for removal before, but then unmarked for removal. So we have been waiting for it for a long time. But I think to build trust with the community, you need to do it in a gradual way and not just take them out and make them bare. So I think 3 years, there's 30 pine trees. If we could remove, let's say, 10 a year and then just, replant as we go, I think the community would be on board. And look, we've only ever had like one real resident complaining about pine trees, that removal of pine trees down here. There's never been another resident really that has complained about their trees being removed on Osprey Court.
Right.
Okay.
Any,
thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lonergan, for coming, and thank you for the work you do, by the way. Volunteers that help in our city are very valuable. Years ago in Olivia Terrace, Hallett Cove, council were very adamant that they wanted to remove some Aleppo pines as they were a noxious weed and listed tree, and the residents kicked up and fought that vigorously. So it's not the first time council has dealt with these type of trees. Would you support the planting of some she oaks down there, which are fairly fast growing natives that would produce the cones that the black cockatoos would eat. Would that be a consideration of part of your group to address the food source for the black cockatoo?
Yeah, in a word, Councillor Hull, absolutely. We would love to plant she-oaks and the mallybox and cypress pines and all the other trees. That, so, yeah, in answer to your question, absolutely.
All right, any other questions? Well, Mr. Landrigan, what will happen now is I understand staff will relegate you, if you'll excuse the verb, to being an attender of the meeting rather than an active panellist, because obviously the councillors need to get on with their deliberations.
Hello, everyone. Sorry, I've just worked out how to start the camera.
So. Oh, that's brilliant. Nice to see you.
Yes.
Now you're going to be relegated. Councillors, on page 25, you've got the report dealing with a petition. And for Mr. Landrigan's benefit, probably has seen this, but the staff recommendation is to note the petition and bring back a report in August. That is understandable because it would make sense to look at any other sides of the question, consult if necessary. But having said that, it's in the hands of the council. So although we do have another deputation, with leave of the meeting, I would proceed to that very item now. And it's in your hands, councillors, how you'd like to move. Now, Councillor Crossland, at this point, you're planning to exit the meeting, so staff can, whatever it is, put you in the waiting room, or you can stop your video so that you're not actively taking part in the meeting.
Thank you, Your Worship. Do staff need me to explain the reason again, or are they happy with the explanation I gave at the beginning of the meeting?
Councillor Crossland, are you happy for it to be recorded as a material conflict?
Yeah, it can be a material conflict. I'm happy with that, especially based on the chance of my house going up with a petrol bomb. If they're that bad, I didn't realise.
No worries. We'll pop you in the waiting room now.
All right. So now that that's cleared up, Councillor Gard, you're moving a motion?
Your Worship, I am. I've sent the motion, I hope it hit the right spot, to Ms. Twaits, to the effect of what we've just discussed in removal. I wonder if Ms. Twaits has that handy.
Ms. Twaits? You'll need to unmute to respond. You're sharing the screen, and what we're seeing is a draft amendment of the motion, and doing away with the need for any sort of counterbalancing report. Going ahead with removal. Because we're cutting out that report, I'll just ask if one of the managers would like to respond before we deal with the motion.
Sorry, Chris, I don't know whether you saw me yet. I'm probably out of your picture, but yeah, I'd like to just briefly respond, if that's okay.
Please do.
I thank Mr. Landrigan for his deputation, and certainly I'm in complete agreement that this species is declared and needs to go. And I'll put my neck out and say that the 20 years is far too long, and me and my staff recognise that. I do have absolute respect and confidence with my coordinator of biodiversity, Jock Conlon, and his advice to me was, look, I agree with that, but I just want to have a look at it. It's a delicate ecosystem down there. I think we need to do something about that area, and I'm pretty sure that between all of us, something will happen. But I respect his request that he just wanted a little bit more time to work out the balance and to put forward a considered advice to council, and that was what the intention of that report was. Thank you.
Well, there you are, councillors. You can take that as sage advice. But back to you, Councillor Gard. Go ahead.
Thanks, Your Worship. I've taken a lot of time down in that particular area, which is formerly, I understand from Councillor Crossland, called the Cormorant Drive Reserve, but it's also known as Lower Field River. It's an area that is going to interface quite directly with our plans for the coastal walkway completion in that area, in that there will be a diversion up the path each side, up and back down the path each side of the Field River mouth. And to get that area hunky-dory in the short term would be wonderful, to be well on the way by the time everything at the coastal walkway is completed, even more so. I've visited the area with both Mr. Jaggard and Mr. Conlon, and of course Mr. Landrigan, the speaker tonight, and we've had a very close look at the positives. It's obviously when you head a motion that you want 32 trees or approximately 30 trees removed, it sounds terribly negative. But in this instance, it's terribly positive because what will replace those trees will be far more compliant with the rest of the environment and will create a broader, nicer vista for everyone living proximal. And so I feel that management is very much on side with it. I do take into account Mr. Conlon's point that he'd like to grind down further. However, I'd be interested to perhaps amend the motion subject to those findings. I want to be democratic about it. But on the other hand, I'm open to advice. Is there an option to move forward through management's eyes?
Well, I think Mr. Lyons has answered the question. He's the choice for councillors. I mean, you're moving that motion as it is. The choice for councillors is whether to wait to get a staff report to make sure that we're aware of all of the consequences, or to simply make the decision straight off. I'm not saying there's right or wrong, and I'm certainly not doubting Councillor Gard's sincerity in moving the motion. We have seen, I'll make this as a general comment, we have seen with other items that have come to council, especially where there's been a petition or a deputation, and we've agreed off the bat to go ahead and please a particular group of people, and then we found that there's maybe another side to it, and council's reconsidered. And sometimes that works out very well, sometimes it doesn't. So really, you're putting forward the motion, Councillor Gard, let's just get this done. Mr. Lyons has said, give us a couple of months to have a look at what are the consequences, and we can test that motion, Councillor Gard. It's... You know, it's up to you what motion you move. If you wanted to stick with the report option, you can, but you've, at the moment, you've got on the board there that we proceed. So if you want more information from Mr. Lyons, we'll go to Mr. Lyons, but otherwise it's your call, Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I'm satisfied following discussions with the two gentlemen I mentioned that we can make it full steam ahead, and I understand Mr. Conlon has had some further thinking since that meeting a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was. However, I don't want to stand in the way of due process or fair process. On the other hand, I am concerned about lead times and getting the job done, particularly for the reasons I mentioned in relation to the walkway. So I just wonder whether perhaps if we can find a seconder for the existing motion, we let it be decided that way. But I'm actually quite 50-50 about it.
Point of clarification.
I've had a point of order from Councillor.
I was just wondering whether we can provide in principle support for the removal of the trees pending the outcome of the report. So we tell the residents that we are keen to have these trees removed, but we do want to take the advice.
I think that's really a third option. I would say, I'm speaking only in the most general terms, it's probably not good governance to say, yes, we agree to something before getting the facts and we're deciding to say yes anyway, if you see what I mean. Now, having said that, councillors might think this is actually quite a straightforward issue and we can just get on with it. So, you know, that is a valid point of view and that's what Councillor Gard's putting forward. But I don't think that's a point of order. Now, the way we're proceeding, if people want to go ahead and do it, that's absolutely fine. The motion will pass. If it's not passed, then I would entertain a motion which incorporated the report provision. So either way, we won't, you know, it's not going to fall off the table, but let's test this motion first. Is there a second of a Councillor Gard's motion?
I'm
Councillor
seconding.
Telfer, you're seconding. Yes. Did you wish to speak to it?
Yes, I think it's quite valuable to go forward with the growth of the gum trees in that area. I know how valuable they are to those people that have planted and tended them. So I look forward to that progression.
Oh, very good. Is there anyone speaking against? Very well. Yes, Councillor Duncan.
I'm not going to support this motion because I would like to see the report first, because there's been no information about all of the other subspecies and insects and animals that live in those trees. We don't know anything about them. And I'd like to know about that first before we remove the all of those pines in such a short time.
Right. So because our practice is to alternate between for and against, I'll ask if there are any speakers for the motion. Councillor Masika.
Thanks, Your Worship. I would like to speak for supporting up the motion for two reasons. Reason number one, the Maryland Council Administration and we General Council, we agree that those species which are there, they are pests, that they are not suitable to that environment. They have to go. So that is reason number one. And the second reason that going back and start digging other reports, I don't want to replicate that situation like the one we are facing in my own ward. So that's why I want to go straight. We have to listen what the residents are saying. They say, look, they don't want it. Those are pests, needs to be removed. And we agree in principle, so we don't need to have another report. So let's go ahead and remove up those points because they are fire hazards and everyone knows and everyone accepted that. So I'll support the motion that we don't need to waste more time. We have been given a framework of 3 years to complete the task. So let's wake up with the people within those three years to finish up the task.
Thank you. Anyone else speaking against the motion? There being none, I'll go back to you, Councillor Gard, to close the debate.
Thank you, Worship. Just addressing Councillor Duncan's point, and I do appreciate her desire to hear more facts. What Councillor Masika just said is very valid. They are a pest, they are a fire hazard. We don't need to know too much more about that, but I was thoroughly convinced in my talks with management that there are far better things ahead once we remove those trees. And I understand there is the option of crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but I really feel that I have enough clarity as local ward councillor there. I'm quite satisfied about the resident numbers. And so I vote move ahead.
I'll ask you to raise your hands if you're in favour. And raise your hand if you're against. Carried by majority. Thank you. So, Mr. Landrigan, I presume you're still watching there. And you can see that council has resolved to remove those trees over 3 years. So, you will be advised more formally in due course, and you can pass that on to your neighbours. And now we have another deputation that came in late. Ms. McKenzie, can you introduce the person? Are you aware of the person?
Yes. So, sorry, I'm just checking our attendees. It's Deb Lee. So I'll just promote her now. If you just give me one moment.
From the Adelaide Primary Health Network?
Yes, that's correct.
So this relates to Councillor Hull's motion at the end of the agenda. Of course, we may bring that forward if members wish after hearing the deputation. So, Ms. Lee, we can see that you've joined us around the table, electronically speaking. I can see an image of you, although it's not animated, and you are muted. So you have 5 minutes to make a presentation to us. If you leave plenty of time for questions, that's a good thing. But you would need to unmute yourself. I'm not sure that we've made contact at this point.
I'm not sure either.
There we go.
There we go. That looks promising. Ms. Lee, we can see you, we can hear you. So, and you're aware that this relates to a motion about drug arm in particular.
Yes.
So I hope you heard me say you've got 5 minutes, but if you finish early, it'll leave plenty of time for questions. Thank you.
Super. Thank you, Mayor Hannah and councillors. And thank you for the opportunity to actually provide some factual responses to that brief. I think the reason why I wanted to do that is there is actually a fair amount of inaccuracy in there. And I think it's important that you, as the Mayor and council, actually have a full picture. So I'll be as quick as I can with regards to those facts, and I'm more than happy to take questions on that. So firstly, the Adelaide Primary Health Network is a Commonwealth-funded not-for-profit organisation, and one of our key roles is to commission treatment services in the community across the metropolitan region. So of course that includes the Marion region. So the drug arm program in question, or in as the focus of the brief, was a legacy contract that was formally commissioned through the state from the Commonwealth. So it's been in play since about 2005. And then in 2017, the Commonwealth transferred that contract and about 13 others across to the Primary Health Network due to needing them to fit more adequately with the needs assessment of the region. So one of the key pieces of work that we do is a very robust population health and planning needs assessment. And we look at what the needs of the communities are and then commission those services to be collaborative and integrated within that space. So to be very clear, total funding for this program is just over $330,000. And we have been working with drug arms since 2017. Now, the Commonwealth's instruction for these programs was that they needed to revert all of their program funding to direct service treatment. All of these, or the vast majority of these programs, including the drug arm one, had a huge capacity building administration component, and the Commonwealth's desire was to make sure that that funding was going towards direct treatment. So we work very closely with each of the program providers, including Drug Arm, to have that direct service treatment converted so that the community were getting the full benefit of the funding for that program. Now, Drug Arm have been, since the onset of our management of that contract, which is July 2017, as I mentioned, unable and somewhat unwilling to actually do that. The program has, in our view, does not deliver the needs for that area, and it's staffed, and I make absolutely no aspersions about programs that are staffed by volunteers. They're very, very valuable in our communities. However, this funding for $330,000 needs to go towards direct service treatment, and obviously volunteers are not paid. So in conversations and capacity building work with the staff of Drug Arm, we were informed that they were utilising that $330,000. The majority of that money was going towards a program administration for Drug Arm and the lease costs for that building, which do seem high. And it is not the only funding that they actually receive and all service that they run out of the Warradale office. The funding did not include the Clean Needle Exchange Program that is funded by DASA. And we work very closely with DASA and the state. So we have worked side by side with DASA to look at the needs of the southern community, indeed the Marion region. And DASA are about to announce, my understanding is very early in June, they will be announcing some more funding going into that area, particularly into the southern outreach services for drug and alcohol programs. We have absolutely every intention of reallocating that $330,000 to another service provider. And I'll just explain that the transition contracts came to an end 30th of June this year. We made the decision as an organisation to extend them for a further 12 months for all of the programs so that we could actually go to market and get providers for integrated and collaborative services across the region. And we decided to do that next year, so we would be going to market in October. However, we were unsuccessful in getting Drug Arm to actually remodel or redesign that program to fit the needs of the region. So their contract came to an end, or will come to an end, on the 30th of June this year. So that money will remain and those services will remain in the southern region. They will just be, in the Marion region, they will be provided by another program service provider. I've got lots more information, but I'm happy to stop there because I think it's probably more pertinent for the councillors to be able to ask, and I'll do my very best to answer in detail.
Thank you, Councillor Valescu, and then Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Ms. Lee, for your presentation tonight. I was just wondering if you could describe how you think the services will improve in addressing the needs of those that have substance abuse issues in our area.
Absolutely. So just to be very clear about the program that is currently being offered, there has, in fact, and I've had a communication from Jodi Wright today, who's the CEO of Drug Arm, who stated in her communication that there has been a lot of confusion and some chaos around the decisions that were made, and that they don't currently have a manager on site with the staff group, and that has caused them some major issues in terms of getting accurate facts, and it's not been a good change management process, and obviously emotions have run high, as they do when communities and volunteers and staff feel like they're losing a service. So what we're actually going to do is actually provide the service that should have been provided down there, which is a drug and alcohol service for people with a variety of needs. So that would go across the spectrum of mild to moderate and to also incorporate complex needs, and be very clear about the fact that the service that Drug Arm was providing did not provide services to people with complex needs. They were being referred on to other providers, even though that's what the funding was for. There was also no clinical supervision. So, and I'm very sorry to say, we consider the service to be clinically unsafe. And I'm sure nobody wants a service in their community that can't be verified as effective, efficient and a quality service. So we will redesign that. We'll provide a service. They are funded to provide the service up until the 30th of June. They have stopped the intake for clients. And it's my understanding, and I checked that again today, it actually does say on the website their service is closed. They have reassured us that it is not, and that they are providing transition for the 33 clients that they've currently got, the vast majority of which will be closed. So their episode of treatment would be over by that time. And I think there's two or three that will be transferred to another provider. So we're working with them very closely to make sure there's a transition plan for those clients. We would hope to be providing services to a lot more than 33 clients in the Marion and surrounding region. So.
Thank you. Councillor Hull has a question.
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. I have a number of questions. I need to probably advise you, Ms. Lee, that this is a public meeting. You've made some assertions. I did encourage Drug Arm to listen in tonight, and they probably are.
Councillor Hull, it's a question opportunity, so please ask some factual questions.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to pay the courtesy of availing the
person. All right.
Yeah.
Keep going.
You say that it hasn't closed. Ms. Lee, the premises is being gutted by workmen. I live in the same street. I can't see how you can possibly say the services are continuing when the painters, vans and carpenters have been there for days. These people have gone, as they've probably vacated the other site. They're still operating at Victor Harbour and Kangaroo Island, unfortunately. But my biggest question to you is, knowing what I know, why haven't you made sure that the service continuity, the business continuity is still there? Because clearly it's not. And
all right, let's just take... Councillor Hull, we'll take it one by one. I'll come back to you, but let's hear the answer to that one, Ms. Lee.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah, and thank you, Councillor Hull, for your question. I didn't say the service hadn't closed. What I said was that I'd received an assertion from Jodie Wright, the EO of Drug Arm, that the service is not closed. Now, our understanding is it is closed, exactly the same as your assertion, Councillor Hull. And certainly their website says it's closed. So, you know, all the evidence suggests that they are not currently providing a service. They have assured us, and I have that in writing from Jodie Wright today, that they are providing navigation and referral on services and completing the treatment for the 30, I think it's 34 clients that they've currently got until the 30th of June. And we have asked them for more details about how and what they're doing with that. So that's just to clarify that matter. I absolutely agree with you. All signs point to the fact that the service is...
All right. Yes. Let's go back to Councillor Hull's second question.
Yeah. As a not-for-profit organisation yourself, mm-hmm. what harm would there be in the motion, particularly when I want to amend the motion to the Premier and the local federal member, given the federal funding? What harm can that do to help organisations like you draw attention to the fact that our community value and are concerned about the events of Drug Arm closing up, and they have moved on. And it worries me that...
All right.
That
services Ms. Lee, you've seen the actual motion that's on the agenda, I presume? So
yes.
Can you answer Councillor Hull's query?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Mayor Hannah. No harm at all, and I have absolutely no issues. What I was concerned about, Councillor Hull, was the fact that the information in the brief to the council was inaccurate. And the Premier is aware of this, certainly the Health Minister is aware of this, and Chris Picton MP is also aware of it. I've provided a very detailed brief to each of those and also to the Commonwealth around the issues with this program and the inability to get it to run in a safe and effective way. I don't have a problem with a letter being written. I just wanted the council to understand that everything is already being done to replace that service and to ensure that Marion and surrounding southern regions actually get the services that have been funded for them out of that funding envelope, that it won't be removed, that it will continue, and that we're working very closely with DASA to ensure that, in fact, those areas receive greater funding allocation and more service delivery, because it's been on our needs assessment radar for over 4 years in terms of the lack of services and coordination down in those regions, particularly Marion.
Ms. Lee, DASA, can you just explain the acronym?
I'm very sorry. Yes, absolutely. Drug and Alcohol Services South Australia. So it's a state government program.
Thank you. Now, I've got Councillor Crossland waiting with a question. Councillor Hull, would you have a final question?
No, Mr. Mayor, to be fair.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, no, just wanted to give you the chance. Councillor Crossland, go ahead.
Thank you. Look, I'm actually struggling to work out, are you in support of Councillor Hull's resolution, or are you saying all the people that need to know already know? I'm not sure.
Thank you, Councillor Crossland. I'm not sure it's my place to be in support or otherwise. What I was keen to do was make sure that the councillors actually had the facts. I was concerned about the inaccuracies in the brief. And had we been approached prior to the brief being written, I would have been happy to make, give you the same information that's been given to others. I guess I was just keen to make sure that you were aware of the facts, and therefore, if you decided to write a letter, that you were aware of the actual facts of the program and the decisions behind why that contract came to an end, or will come to an end on the 30th of June, albeit that the service appears to have stopped now.
Right. Any follow-up, Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, so my second question is, look, this is obviously a state and federally funded program. what involvement have council got directly in this program, and do the MPs actually know about these issues already?
Very good question. We certainly do a lot of work with the politicians at state and federal level, and we also do an enormous amount of work with communities. We are actually a community-driven organisation, and we have a membership in each of the metropolitan regions. We also work very closely with the councils, and we do have some contact and some input into and to and from the Marion Councils, and we work very closely with the LGAs. So, you know, when we do our population health and planning and our needs assessment, all of those people that I've mentioned and a lot more are actually consulted around, you know, what it is communities need. I mean, it's one thing to have statistics from various surveys and stats from the state and stats from the Commonwealth, but it's certainly in my experience within population health and planning and health planning, the real gold is coming from community. Community knows what it is they need. They know what's missing. And a lot of the time they actually know the solutions, and they're generally a lot cheaper to implement coming from community too.
So. Right. Third, final question, Councillor Crossland and Councillor Garth.
Yes, just to clarify, we're writing a letter to the Premier, and maybe, I don't know if it gets changed, to the Minister for Health and the local members, both federal and state. Are they going to be shocked by this, or do they already know it? Are we wasting our time?
That's a good question, Councillor Crossland. And, you know, I never think it's a waste of time to actually make contact with the powers that be, but they do, they're well aware of it. I mean, I've got a 3-page summary brief in front of me, which I'm also happy to send on to Council via your secretariat. They are well aware of the issues, and they are also well aware of the planned new service injection into the southern area, particularly Marion. So we're all working very closely together to make sure that the services are provided to people in the Marion and surrounding southern regions.
All right, Ms. Lee, wouldn't be a bad idea to send on that 3-page summary. I'm sure some members would be interested. Councillor Gard, you had a factual question?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I was just interested, probably the information that it might come to us is going to answer the question, but just in advance to get a little bit of elaboration on whether it is a service directly into the city of Marion from a physical location or a branch point of view, or whether Marion will be allocated part of a larger service that's more central, for example.
Yes, thank you. In terms of the funding that the Adelaide Primary Health Network has control over, that would definitely go into the City of Marion, and has for a very long time been high on our needs assessment list with big gaps in this area in terms of services. So we do have additional funding going into that. We also have a Headspace Centre being built or located within the City of Marion, which will hopefully be open in October. And councillors would probably be aware that Headspace Centres do provide drug and alcohol services to young people between 12 and 25. So that's already in the pipeline and will hopefully be accessible and be providing services by October. But we also have a range of other services, and working very closely with DASA, Drug and Alcohol Services South Australia, to ensure that whatever services go in to the southern region, that Marion is the top of the list in terms of location and priority for those services. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no more, thank you, Ms. Lee, for your contribution. Now, as we did with the previous deputation, staff will relegate you to the status of an attender of the meeting as opposed to being a panellist in Zoom terms, so you can stay for our deliberations as a viewer if you wish. Councillors, on page 299, you have the motion prepared by Councillor Hull. I'm suggesting that we go to that and deal with it now, but it is a question of leave of the meeting, so I would say if no one objects, let's do that. I can't see anyone objecting, so I have leave of the meeting to go to page 299, and Councillor Hull, it's up to you to move, and if you wish to move in an amended form, please do so.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will move this, and with the addition of right to the Premier and to the the federal member for Boothby. Otherwise, the remainder of the motion is sound. Mr. Mayor, we just heard from the deputation that she doesn't have any issue with the motion. She took exception to the supporting information, which was an extract that I took from Drug Arm itself, from a posting that they lodged. It was well advertised that this facility was going to close a week or two ago. They made the community known by social media. They had a closing ceremony. And like I say, there has been a number of workmen down there making ready the facility for somebody else to use. So the business continuity is not happening, and that is a concern to me. This is a council advocacy matter, Mr. Mayor. Sure, it's not our core business, but we often are expected to advocate on behalf of the community. And sadly, this section of the community, those people that have drug dependency, mental health issues, young people that, you know, there's all sorts of services that were provided over there, sexual health, all sorts of things that I'm aware of. And it's a long-standing association with the council. Before it was called Drug Arm, it was called something else, and it was located somewhere else. And I remember we even had council liaisons on Drug Arm at one point. You know, we have had this as a point of interest and a vital point of interest of our community. And we should be concerned that it has closed, and we should be making sure through our advocacy that it's not only replaced, but maybe even improved and kept within the local district. Mr. Mayor, from October 2019 to January of this year, when it closed, there are 813 clients. That's quite a lot in that, 3 month period. The number of people requiring syringes to be picked up were 2,462, and the number of syringes issued was 74,509.
Councillor Hull, but thank you for the information. Is the motion seconded, Councillor Masika? Wish to speak?
Yes, Your Worship, I would like to second the motion and the way Councillor Hull has put it. And I'm very surprised the CEO, Debbie, said, look, the service is still ongoing. As far as I'm aware of, the Drug Arm Waterdale and Hillbank closed on the 8th of May. No more services being offered. And I'm surprised to hear the CEO say, look, they're offering the service up to the end of the month. And then knowing up from our local council, we have so many people affected by drugs. They live around where the service was. And they, also there are so many other community organizations which would love to support up the services to continue to be provided there. So it will be wise if the council can advocate on behalf of this unfortunate group of clients who their services have been discontinued, to make sure that the appropriate services are being delivered to the client at the appropriate address.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Golescu?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, from what I gathered from the presentation, the services aren't leaving. The information makes it seem like this is closed down or we're neglecting people. It actually seems that they're going to be replaced by a better service. And from what Ms. Lee has been telling us, the service that the organisation was able to provide towards the end wasn't really what it was meant to, nor was it the service required. So I don't know whether we need to. I don't know. Did I misinterpret the information provided to us? I support us having facilities for people with substance abuse problems. I think it's needed, especially in that area. There's some very unfortunate circumstances there. But I don't know if we need to do this. I don't know if, you know, someone can clarify.
Well, I think if we've all heard the same thing and we have to draw our conclusions from it. Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? There being no other speakers in favour, sorry, Councillor Crossland, I know you were going to So are you speaking in favour, Councillor Telfer? I'll just let you unmute. Yes?
No, I'd move an amendment that
really counts as speaking. Oh, Ms. McKenzie, is that speaking against the motion?
No, Councillor Telfer can move an amendment if she wishes, depending on what it is.
Yep. Go ahead, as long as it's not completely gutting the motion, Councillor Telfer.
I would leave the motion as it is, but take out the words. So we were going to write to the Premier and the member for Boothby. Leave out the words to seek an explanation as to why Drug Arm in Warradale has been closed, and just leave it and to advise where and how many clients are in need of that have to be drug and alcohol services within our city and can now obtain and how they're going to obtain board assistance and counselling. So essentially the essence of the last part of the motion, but not the first part.
Yes, I think we understand it's an inquiry about future services, not about why this service has closed. I think that's the intention you're putting forward. Did you wish to speak to it further?
Need to move forward. We need to offer these services. We need to be focused to move forward. We know that that building is closed.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
A point of order?
I do perceive that this is a direct opposite to my motion, where it was specifically about Drug Arm, and there's no context in Councillor Telfer's amendment relating to Drug Arm and context to the broader amendment.
All right, I'll seek Ms. McKenzie's advice. Is it a direct negative?
Would it be possible if the current minutes can be shared on the screen?
Yes, thank you. Ms. Thwaites, you doing that? Right, so there we've got the original and the amended. So, Ms. McKenzie, if you could give some advice, do you think that the amendment is a negative of the motion?
Through the chair, no, I don't think it is an indirect opposition. I think it is an amendment because it has just removed essentially that section where it's seeking that advice as to why.
Yes, I guess where there were two parts, it's cutting out one part, but it's still leaving a substantial part. So there is no point of order. The amendment is in order, and the question is whether there is a seconder to the amendment, and the person can take their speaking opportunity for or against any aspect. Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Worship. Yes, I'm most sympathetic with Councillor Howell's motion, but it does seem that we need to update it to what we now know is going to happen. We have an assurance that it will not only be a replacement service, but a better and more wholesome, perhaps, service in terms of efficacy and procedure, perhaps. But I do feel that we certainly need to make a case for quick replacement and to emphasise the need.
The amendment has been moved and seconded. Could I ask that screen sharing stop for the moment so that I can see the vote on the amendment? All those in favour of the amendment, please raise your hand. And just keep it there for a moment. Put down your hands. If you're against the amendment, raise your hand. Mr. Haridis, don't raise your hands at a time like this. That's very difficult looking at the screen. I'm going to, people really need to clearly show their hands, otherwise we'll have to do it electronically. So those against the amendment. Right, now I count 11 votes. Is there anyone absent? No, so I'm missing one somewhere. We'll have to do it again. All those in favour of the amendment, please raise your hand. Please lower your hands. All those against the amendment, please raise your hand. Right. Thank you. You may lower your hands. The vote on the amendment is tied. By way of a casting vote, I'll cast my vote. It's a bit difficult because I'm not really in favour of the motion after what I've heard, but I'll cast my vote in the negative. So we'll just deal with the original motion. Debate may continue with speakers either for or against. Councillor Crossland, thank you for being patient.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'm against both motions. I think if you want the information we're requesting, you can either look it up on the internet or ask our staff. I don't see why you would write to the Premier to ask him about drug services in our area. I don't think these types of things are helpful. I think the right way of dealing with it is to liaise with your elected MP, whether it be federal or state, and if that fails, then you can come back. The other problem with this motion is that the facts are completely jumbled up. I've got no idea what's true and false, so I wouldn't like to be in your shoes writing a letter not knowing what exactly the situation is.
Thanks, Councillor. Now, anyone who hasn't spoken, Councillor Musika, you have indeed spoken. You seconded the motion. Anyone who hasn't spoken who's in favour of the original motion? No, then I'll leave it to Councillor Hull to close the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, once again, this is Council Advocacy 101. It's, you know, it is us having dialogue with MPs, as Councillor Crossland suggests. That's out the mechanism. We actually move a motion to write a letter. That is having the discussion and prompting their attention. This is only about drawing their attention to the issues so nothing is missed. And unfortunately, as identified by Councillor Musika, by Drug Arm and by myself, this service has stopped. Regardless of what anybody else says, the owner of the facility, Top Cat Services, have got workmen in there renovating the facilities. There's nothing happening there. There's obviously confusion between two not-for-profit organisations, and that worries me because in the middle of all this are people that need help. And I think that we should be writing this letter just to actually, if nothing else, it's not asking the Premier to reopen it. It's just asking them to have a look at it, to reassure us as a community that this section of the community, which, you know, unfortunately quite often gets overlooked because it's not sexy, there's no votes in it, that is addressed. And that's the least we can do. Like, you know, when I first became aware of this, I felt quite helpless. And the only thing that I could think I could do was doing exactly this tonight. And unfortunately, the amendment, if you read the amendment, has no context. It makes no sense at all. But we're not talking about that now, fortunately. So, look, I urge you to support this. Just so we write a letter. It's just a letter. And I don't think there is any confusion. The service has stopped. There's no doubt in my mind that the needle exchange and everything else that we're doing down there is not happening now, both at this site and probably the other one on the other side of town. So I urge you to support this. It'll just draw attention to a very important part of our community that does get overlooked. Thank you.
All right, I'll put the motion to the vote. Remember, this is the original motion to write to the Premier and Member for Boothby seeking an explanation, etc. I'll put it, all those in favour, raise your hand clearly. All those against, raise your hand clearly. The motion is defeated, so we can move on. And just as a general sort of point, Councillor Crossland raised it to an extent during debate, but there are a couple of issues when these questions arise about operations by other agencies that are funded by state and federal, not by council. For example, a councillor could write an individual advocacy letter. Councillors can also work with managers to make appropriate inquiries, but equally, councillors have every right to, you know, occupy half an hour of general council meeting time with such questions, and councillors just make the choice about the way they want to make progress with the matter. All right, now we go back to the corporate reports for decision. And I can't really, I think there we pretty well need to deal with these one by one. They each have their tricky aspects. First of all, on page 29, the third budget review. Does anyone have any questions to start with? Then would someone like to move the motion? Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, I just wanted to make the point. Probably it does relate as much to our financial report at the end of the night, but I just wanted to make the point that our liquidity is very, very strong, and that at the end of the night you'll see that our cash position is very, very strong, and still our financial liabilities ratio is deeply into the negative, and so it does imply that we have to look towards the intergenerational equity question. And I keep raising it, and I will continue to raise it, because it is so important. It affects so many people, and as times get harder, it's an even more acute point that I make.
Thanks, Councillor Gard. You've moved the motion. Councillor Telfer, seconded.
Yes, and in seconding, I guess I'd like to ask, there's a whole section of adjustments to due to COVID-19. Is there any feeling that the positive adjustment, that adjustment there, will over time change, like that we have another 3 or 6 months of adjustments as such?
Mr. Barnwell, did you want to answer that, or sure. Ms. Denmore?
Thank you, through the chair. I'll have a quick go with that. We're quite confident. We're monitoring our expenditure and incomes as they happen. We have made some adjustments there. The principal one being around the mobilisation for the digital transformation works, which is the biggest cost. But on our general operating level, we're sort of matching. We're matching off our income. Our income drop with a drop in expenditure, so we're not overly concerned at the moment. So it's going pretty well.
And just to follow up from the chair, but the digital transformation, where we've spent about $350,000 lately, was a lot of that for people working from home? Because I understand, I think.
Through the chair, that was for laptops and computers, and it was brought forward. So it was always going to be spent. We have a program of replacing machines, but we just brought it forward.
Yeah. I see. They weren't additional machines for people to use at home.
No. The only additional items were the few member screens that we purchased and headsets. Pretty much everything else was already
spent. Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded, but I'll take other questions. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, it may be something that has to be taken on notice, Your Worship. I noticed things like the swim centre reduction in income was anticipated, but I would have thought that there would have been a decrease in wage cost with COVID-19. So a bit surprised to see that actually the wage went up, even though we were closing things down. I just wondered if that could be explained, as well as the huge reduction in parking fines prior to COVID-19.
Yes, we had Just in relation to the employee cost, the specific increases we're noting here are positions that weren't originally in the budget. They relate to positions, the Eberstown, managing the Eberstown facility, the Coves facility, and then some cross-council initiatives where we are sharing costs with City of Port Adelaide and City of Charles Sturt around utilities and waste. So they are the key ones in addition to a grant funding position. So they actually weren't in the budget in the first place. We're just noting them now. There is some we are hoping, we've had various movements in the Labour budget. And we're hoping to come in, apart from those positions, we've come in pretty much on track where we were. So we just wanted to highlight that in the report. With regard to the pool, we are seasonal, like the season was almost completed by the time the COVID impact actually hit. So we're kind of, the income was down. It wasn't as good as last year, tracking as good as last year. So it was down. The season might have closed a couple of weeks early, but that income was already down as it was with the parking revenue, which had been down considerably over prior years. And I'm not sure if Mr. Reed is to be able to answer that one or wants to respond to the parking one. We wanted to distinguish between the income down. It's not just because of COVID that the parking revenue is down, so we want to distinguish those two. It's important.
Mr. Huridas, a follow-up, both as to a less favourable season for the pool, perhaps, and why would parking be down even before COVID began?
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the pool, it was an interesting season in so far as weather, and particularly weekend weather, where typically our numbers are stronger. We've mentioned this one briefly before in either committee or forum discussions, but that's been one that we've been tracking through the season, and unfortunately we didn't have those favourable conditions that drive what was a very hot summer last year and the variations in attendance. With regard to parking, I am conscious we've got another item later on the agenda where we'll have some staff. I don't have an immediate answer with respect to either at CSI discussion, whether colleagues might have an insight as to why those parking revenues are down.
Or all right, we might come back to that.
And I'll notice.
Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Put your hand up. Yep. Carried unanimously. Thank you. Again, with this electronic meeting, if I say carried unanimously and you weren't part of the rest of the vote, just make yourself, make your feelings known and we'll correct it. On page 47, Digital Transformation Program and Resources, I know there's a lot of enthusiasm for members about what we're doing here. Councillor Crossland, would you like to move accordingly?
Oh, I think I'm already unmuted. Yeah, thank you. I'll move as printed, please. I just had a couple of things to say, but I'll see if it's seconded first.
No, you go ahead and speak to it. That's all right.
It's been an eye-opener. It's been a great thing to do. My only concern would be the amount of expense, and although it is great to have such a very professional report, I wouldn't like to see this to be done too often. And the other one was, again, we've got that sort of amount of detail where we're not sure if some of these people actually even live in the city of Marion or some of their demographics, because it was missed off, which then still leaves us with a very small pool of people that we're making strategic decisions for. But it was great to get this done, but I wouldn't like to see the level of expense or staff time too often.
Talking about the digital transformation.
Oh, sorry, I'm actually on page 67 with my page numbers here.
Sorry, but I thought those comments probably related to just about everything on the agenda, so that was fine.
Sorry, people. I've jumped to the wrong one.
Let's just scratch that. Councillor Schilling to move in relation to the digital transformation motion.
Yes, I'm happy to move as printed. I congratulate Ms. Dinmore on getting this to us so quickly within her starting at council, and I look forward to the positive outcomes of our IT department over the next period of time.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, you wish to speak? Very well. Anyone against or any questions? Then Councillor Gard.
Yes, just a question, Your Worship, on project number one, digital literacy and cybersecurity awareness. Could Ms. Dinmore give us an indication on the timeline for that particular one, which in today's environment we're reminded is very urgent, I would have thought.
Sure. Thank you. Through the chair, we are hoping to do this with our two council partners. So while we have started on the digital literacy and with the move to Microsoft 365, we're going to start on the cybersecurity awareness for staff. It's going to be an ongoing process, and we're trying to do it with our council partners so that we can have uniformity across the three for staff in the first instance.
Very well.
We're going to try and do it with the members. Sorry.
Any other questions? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now on to grant guidelines and grants policy, page 50. There's been a good interaction between elected members and management, so it's certainly been looked at a number of times now. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm happy just to move as printed, and I'd like to thank Mr. Lines for working on this and the staff. They've put a lot of time into it.
Thank you, Councillor Schilling. Seconded. Nothing to add. Anyone's questions or speaking against? Councillor Hull. Just need to unmute Councillor Hull. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question. Throughout the supporting documents for the grants, there's lots of lines through detail. For example, on page 64, there's lines through asking for an ABN or, you know, GST details. And there seems to be enough detail deleted in here to leave the grants policy very vague. And in terms of ABNs and GST, it's important that that information is obtained, because the mother body of organisations really need to know, say Neighbourhood Watch. With Neighbourhood Watch, just as an example.
Councillor Hull, just wait a sec. I'll come back to you. But taking that as a question about why those elements were deleted, there may be a simple explanation. Would Ms. Byrne or Mr. Lyons like to give an answer? And then I'll go back to Councillor Hull. Or is there no answer?
Through the chair. Thank you, Councillor Hull, for that question. It's a lot of that information is collected on the Smarty Grants online platform that we ask our applicants to complete. So it's been removed from the policy because it's not considered necessary, and it is actually on the online platform that we actually use. So it's gathered and collected and held, but it's electronic on that on that software.
Councillor Hull, that answer your question?
Well, not really, Mr. Mayor. This is our policy. Like, what the administration do in terms of administrating the online systems they use has no bearing on this, and in fact they should be in synergy. Something like this is important. I was referring before as an example to Neighbourhood Watch. They're the parent body, they're the one with the ABN. And individual Neighbourhood Watch groups can't apply for grants unless the parent body in the city know about it. If this was deleted and that's not observed, it causes chaos with
Councillor Hull, what you're doing now is speaking to the motion. So do you have an amendment that you want to bring if you have a continuing concern after that answer?
Well, I do. And I guess I could ask the question of the CEO. Does he think that our policies should align with administration detail? And if we don't have the corporate policy by us, then does that leave the administration to freelance?
Yeah, so Mr. Skull, Ms. Burns answered that the only way to make an application is through the Smarter Grants program, and that collects the GST and incorporation data, etc. But to answer Councillor Hull's question about our policy being distinct from that, what do you say?
Well, the Smarty Grants requires that this information is collected, so that information will be put up there for anybody or any organisation that wants to put it up. It's an interesting question whether our policy has to detail what the Smarty Grants is requiring anyway. I can see Councillor Hull's point that our policy should state that we'll comply with the requirements of the granting body and provide the information that they require.
Councillor Hull, what do you want to do about your concern?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I don't like being a stick in the mud, but I think this needs more work. I think that just to rehash, that our policy, our governance policy, as determined by us, should have the detail in there that creates clear understandings as to what the administration should expect with grant applications.
So what do you want to do about it, was my question to you?
Well, I'd like to defer this matter until the administration works through this a bit more to actually be aligned with the council.
Right. Now, just before we go further, I've got Ms. McKenzie, but I also want to give Ms. Byrne another opportunity to respond to see if there's anything else that needs to be said. Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, just quickly, understand where Councillor Hull's coming from. I just wanted to make mention that a lot of our policies we are trying to lift to be a policy document. The items that are being referred to are quite process driven. So we have tried to strip a lot of the process out of the policy, because the policy should be the guiding documents about what council's position is rather than process. So Ms. Byrne might be able to provide further detail in regards to, I'm not aware how the Smarty Grant works and if some of this detail is in that process, but in regards to a policy, it's probably appropriate that it's not in there.
Right, so policy is more about the principles, general guidelines, and procedure is something else. Ms. Byrne, can you add anything, you know, about whether that sort of material needs to be in the policy or not, or the extent to which it's covered through the application process?
Through the chair, thank you. This policy was reviewed in line with the policy framework that was adopted by council. And as Ms. McKenzie said, stated that, getting the overall philosophies and position, that's what policies, we'd like to think that this policy is reflecting. The Smarty Grants platform is very good and robust, and many other councils use this to manage grant funding. So if we wanted to add additional elements to it, so the applicants, as they complete it, are filling out more, we can have that. We have the ability to build that in.
All right. So Councillor Hull, just checking, you want to move a deferral at this point?
No, look, Mr. Mayor, I'll speak against the motion and I'll vote against it.
All right. Well, I think you've used up a lot of your time, but if you want to speak against it, do so now.
I'll be brief. Essentially, I think that the devil's in the detail. The detail, if you look through the number of lines that are crossed out, should raise a red flag, because the devil's in the detail. The detail's all been extracted. If the federal government had more detail, Mr. Mayor, they wouldn't have found themselves in near as much trouble as they have with the sports grants, because there would have been clear guidelines as to what would have been expected. And I can't see how we're any different in local government managing people's money in terms of grants.
Of course, this is an enormously different process to what the federal and state governments go through. It's much more rigorous and accountable and independent. Is there another speaker? Oh, sorry, Councillor Hull. I'll give you one quick comeback, but I'm not going to, have our process aligned with less satisfactory processes if it's untrue. That is unfair. Now, did you want to come back to that?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I want to keep it exactly how you explained it. And by taking all the detail out, I think we're on the wrong track. So, that's just how I feel. Thank you.
Is there anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? If not, then it's up to the mover to close the debate. That was Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'm more than happy with the guidelines that are given. They're for the whole lot of the grants that we do. Some aren't issued to bodies with ABNs or GST. I'm happy with the oversight of governance and staff, and I'll still move it as printed. Thank you.
I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. Carried by a majority. Thank you. So now we go over to page 67, and I know Councillor Crossland's been thinking about this. Would you like to move that one, Councillor? Just need to unmute yourself.
Thank you. I'll move as printed and comments that I bored everyone with before. Thank you.
Yep. Take speech as heard. Councillor Telfer's seconding the motion. And just unmuting Councillor Telfer. Thank you.
Surely at our planning day, we didn't decide. Maybe we proposed the community survey. But we wouldn't have decided at a non-formal council meeting.
No, that's right. We had a good discussion about it. And what has come up in the recommendation is a reasonable sort of balance without overdoing the survey stuff, many might think. So it's moved and seconded. Any questions or speaking against? If not, I'll put that to the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we can go over to page 104, partial road closure, the Cove Road, Hallett Cove, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. This has actually been a long process that both myself and Councillor Gard have been dealing with. I think it's lasted a number of years. I'm happy that we've reached an agreement, and I'm happy to put forward the motion as recommended by staff.
Thank you. Is that seconded, Councillor Gard? Anything to add?
I just endorse, Your Worship, the words just spoken by Councillor Crossan. We have had meetings on site. There's been exhaustive searching of options, and I think this is a practical and reasonable solution for all parties.
Thank you. And certainly I had my discussion with management about it to make sure that the bit of land that could be transferred is really of no use to us, but nonetheless, it does have a commercial value, and that's represented in the report. Is anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you.